We're turning to the book of Hebrews, to the chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And it's there that we find our text for this afternoon. It's the verse numbered 7. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 7 we read, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." God's word open before us, let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we read of Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, we ask that we too might be warned of God, that we might see most clearly those things that are most assuredly pronounced within thy word of days yet future. We pray that thou would give us understanding of the times in which we live. Realize that time is short, that the day of gospel opportunity will soon end, and the day of God's wrath begin. Our Father, we pray for help now in the preaching and in the hearing of thy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I want to draw your attention just to one little expression in particular within this verse, and it's to the words, "things not seen as yet." Things not seen as yet. For many, there's nothing more convincing than sight. When a man sees a thing, it becomes unnecessary to enter into an argument with him to prove that it exists. Logic is not required when sight comes in. Indeed, when sight comes in, doubt goes out. I suppose it's fair to say that 99% of time, sight banishes skepticism. We have an expression, I'm sure you have it here in Australia too, that seeing is believing. Maybe you've used the expression yourself. Maybe you've said to someone that you've sought to convince, if only you could have seen it for yourself, you would have believed. Or maybe you're explaining something that happened, something out of the ordinary, and you said, "Only I seen it for myself, I wouldn't have believed it." And where sight came in, doubt went out, and seeing became believing. Well, the Bible tells us that there is another power that makes things as certain and as real to us as sight. The Bible calls it faith. And here in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, we have a great chapter of faith. The opening words of the chapter tell us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So while we normally say that seeing is believing, there is another realm beyond that where we enter in by faith, and even things that we have yet to see, we yet believe. And the reason for that belief is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a chapter in which faith is brought to our attention in the lives of many of God's choicest saints. It was faith that enabled them to do those mighty works for the glory of God. Let me run down a few of them for you. There in verse 5, for instance, we read of Enoch, that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now the Bible tells us elsewhere that no man hath seen God at any time, not with the natural eye, and yet by faith God is revealed to the hearts of men and women. So much so that it said of Enoch that he walked with God. Faith enabled him to walk with God. Then we read of Abraham in verse 8. We considered Abraham a little while this morning. He was a man who was called out of the land of his fathers to go to a land of promise that he had never seen. I doubt if he even knew the locality of it when he started out. And yet, what do we read of Abraham? That by faith, Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. Because he believed God. He trusted God. When we read of Moses a little later in the same chapter, we read that by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Invisible to the natural eye, yet visible to the eye of faith. Paul concludes the chapter, sums it up. He writes of all of these mighty men of God that they saw the promises afar off. They saw the promises afar off. Faith is a telescope to the soul. The telescope, of course, when you put it to your eye, enables you to see up closely those things that are afar off. Things that aren't visible to the natural and naked eye become clear and in focus when the telescope is placed to the eye. Tonight may not be a good night, considering the weather that we've had today, but some clear evening, look up into the heavens, look to the stars, and to the naked eye, all that they appear to be are little bright points of light, so infinitely removed from us. But let the astronomer look upon the same stars through his telescope, and those things that are so far away are brought near to him. Now, the telescope doesn't add anything to the star. It simply reveals what is already there and brings it close, brings it near. I'm told that you can buy a map of the moon. And you can view its mountains and its valleys and its craters. You can see the landscape of the moon laid out in full upon this map of the moon. To the naked eye, it's just a white ball in the sky. But the telescope, it brings it near. It makes all of those things apparent. Things not seen as yet. And Noah, given God's word, he was able to use it as a telescope. It enabled him to see things that were yet distant and to bring them right up to date before him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark. The telescope that Noah used was God's truth. It provided him with faith. It brought the reality of God to his soul. And as Noah brought God's word to his eye, it enabled him to see 120 years ahead into the future. You see, in Genesis chapter 6, where we read together, God had revealed to Noah that he was going to destroy all flesh with a flood that would cover the earth. He was going to destroy the world and every living creature within it. And God had said it, and Noah believed it, and his faith in what God had said became equivalent to sight. He put the telescope of God's word to his eye, and he's able to see into the future, and what meets his eye is one of terror and destruction. By faith he can see the black clouds as they fill the skies. He can see the torrents of rain as they begin to fall. He sees the deep places of the earth broken up, the oceans crashing beyond their bounds. He sees death. He sees desolation everywhere. He is enabled by faith to see those things not seen as yet. Now, Noah can only see these things by faith, by trusting in what God has said. When he takes the telescope of God's word away from his eye, he can see no more than any other man. And apart from the words of God, apart from what God has said, he has no grounds for anticipating a deluge that will fill the earth and destroy it. Day after day, the sun would rise in the blue eastern sky. And maybe there were times that Noah was tempted to think that these things that God has revealed to him, that it's just a bad dream. I'm sure there were days when the scoffers would remind him, Noah, where's this flood you've been talking about? Where's this destruction that you've warned us of? Year after year passed by. Year after year. And Noah had nothing but the word of God upon which to build his conviction. Now it would have been very easy for him to doubt. After all, nothing like this had ever happened before. There had been no rain that had fallen upon the earth. There had been no floods across the world. There'd be no worldwide destruction. Nothing like this had ever come before. And yet if doubt ever came to his mind, all he had to do was to take God's word, hold it up before his eye, and look again, and there it was, things not seen as yet. And how could he doubt what he has seen with his own eyes? God had promised destruction. Desolation. And by faith, Noah can see it coming. But you'll notice what our text tells us. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Being moved by fear of these things that were yet to come, he built an ark. And in building this ark, as he'd been told to do so by God, this proved the reality of his faith in what God had said. If Noah had simply said, yes, I believe what God has said, that a flood is coming, that a worldwide destruction is on its way, and yet did nothing about it, we would say to Noah, Noah, you're a hypocrite. You say that you believe, but there's no proof of your belief in your actions. Noah's actions proved his faith. A faith that leads to no corresponding action is a sham faith. It's a false faith. Supposing your neighbor's house goes on fire. And you see the flames coming up through the building. And you knocked down his door and you run to his bedroom and you said, "Get up quickly, your house is on fire. You haven't a moment to spare." And he were to look you in the eye and say, "I believe you." And then pulled the blankets back up over his head and went to sleep. You'd have to ask, did he really believe you? Because if he truly believed, he would have gotten out of bed, he would have escaped for his life. When Noah saw that a flood was coming, he built an ark. He did exactly what God had required of him. He took the dimensions and the structure as God had laid out the blueprint and he began to build. He fell in line with the divine plan and he accepted that this was God's method of salvation. We're told that he became a preacher of righteousness. He believed not only the reality of what he had seen, he had foreseen the danger and he sought to warn others. Those that are truly convinced of what the Lord has said in his word will be determined to see others delivered from that judgment. That neighbor that you wakened from his sleep because of the fire in his house, if he truly believed what you had said, what would he do? He'd waken his wife. And he'd rouse his children, and he'd gather his family, and he'd get them out of there. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Can we really believe in the danger that God has revealed in his word, the judgment that's coming, and yet not tell others? Why do we preach the gospel at all? Because like Noah, we have looked through God's telescope. We have seen a day of impending judgment and being moved with fear of these things, we yet seek to warn others. We're not told what his message was. Never he warned them that the sky would not always be blue, that there would come a day when it would be black with thunder clouds, that the oceans will race over the earth, sweeping away all that stand before them, that all flesh will be destroyed unless they enter into the ark that he was preparing. 120 years Noah warned of judgment to come. Now I don't know if that's the length of time that it took for him to finish the ark, but that's how long God spared the world. 120 years. And he built the ark and became a preacher of righteousness. And yet we're told that only 7 people entered into the ark with him. His wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. He may not have seen many others won to Christ, but at least those that were nearest to him and dearest to him. Then the day came. The Lord said to Noah, "Noah, it's time to come into the ark." Now I can just picture. It was just as fine a day as there ever had been. The sun was warm, the sky was blue, and everything was good before Noah, and yet the Lord says, "Noah, it's time." There was no hint of rain. And yet they trust God. They enter into the ark and the Lord shuts the door behind them. And then a whole week passes. Nothing happens. And you can hear the howls of laughter from those outside. They're making fun of Noah. "Noah, you're still dry in there. Noah, where's this rain?" 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5, 6, and now finally the 7th day, and there's still no rain. Longer it goes on, the louder they laugh. Oh, the man that takes God at his word will appear to be foolish in the eyes of the world. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to those that believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. And if any doubt had come at all to Noah's heart, all he has to do is to lift the telescope again, and there it is on the horizon. He can see the dark clouds approaching. The seventh day passes, and all that Noah has foreseen comes to pass. God has kept his word. The great deluge comes that destroys the world, and Noah as being a man warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved by fear to prepare and to build that ark, is a saved man. God has delivered him. Now I want you to put the telescope of God's word to your eyes this evening. I want you to look at some things that may not be apparent to us just yet, things not seen as yet. To remind ourselves that there is a day approaching for each and every one of us, if the Lord tarries in His coming, that we will be ushered out of this world and into eternity. Now we don't want to be morbid, but it is good to consider what the Bible calls our latter end, or the day of our death. We think all men are mortal except ourselves. We see others around us growing old and frail, but we don't see ourselves going that way. We've been to many a funeral, and yet we never think to ourselves that one day that will be me. Yet the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die. God has set a date in His calendar, a date beyond which we will not go. Day in which we will leave this world. Perhaps it's a day not seen as yet, a day that we haven't thought about or considered or comprehended, but know this, it is coming for us. And with that day and its passing, passes for us the day of God's grace and opportunity. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. The Bible warns us so clearly that there is a day that is coming in which the Lord Jesus Christ will come again in great power to judge a guilty world. You may not have realized that. Neither did the men and women of Noah's day. They thought when Noah warned of judgment that he was a madman or a fool. Let me tell you this afternoon that in the light of God's word, I believe that there is a coming day of judgment. A day in which you do not want to be standing before God, yet clothed in your sin. It is a day in which the Lord will judge the nations, and those whose names are not found recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life will be separated forever from God, and ushered out into a lost eternity. There is a coming day of judgment. If I did not believe it, I would not preach it. But I warn you today, God has said it. Look through the telescope of God's word. See those things not seen as yet. The very rocks rending and the heavens melting in the light of God's judgment. Hear the nations call for the mountains to fall upon them to hide them from the fury of God's wrath. And to know that if you are that day still unconverted, that it will be the most terrible day for you. In Noah's day, an ark was provided for the safety of all who would come in. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ark of salvation to all that come to Him. Now the ark that Noah built would have been of no use to Noah or to his family except they entered into it. Supposing Noah had said, I'll wait near the door, and at the first sign of danger, then I'll enter into the ark. My friend, it would have been too late. The door was shut 7 days before the rain fell. If Noah had waited until the first drops had come, he would have been too late. And if you think to wait until the day of judgment begins and then you'll cry for mercy, it will be too late for you also. There is a day of gospel opportunity that is given to us. We must come while the Lord yet calls us. Because if we do not come when He calls us, we will not come at all. Can I suggest that you also take the telescope of God's Word? This time point it towards Mount Calvary. And bring that distant cross near to you. See the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hanging upon it in agonies and blood. Let it fill your gaze and ponder upon the suffering that He endured for sinners. Building an ark of salvation, that whosoever would come unto Him, that they might be delivered from the judgment to come. My friend, don't just take my word for it. Take your Bibles and see for yourselves. May God reveal to your soul those things not seen as yet. May we, like Noah, be moved with fear. May we run to that ark. May we seek to warn others to flee from the wrath to come. The Bible asks a very solemn question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How will we escape judgment if we neglect God's means of deliverance, the Lord Jesus Christ? Be wise. Be like Noah. Enter into the ark. Be shut into Christ. Be delivered from the judgment of God. Be brought into the blessed hope of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord enable us to see these things not seen as yet.